Hey, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the papers. It is Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2024, and I hope I find you well. It's the BBG. Who else? Back with you. Back, finally, after a spring break, which I needed. And I enjoyed very much, but I'm thrilled to be back with you. And as of right now, things are back to normal. And the spring-summer season of the Papers podcast and the Richie Allen live radio show, 4 p.m, Monday to Thursday, we're back in business, thank heavens. For that, I had a lovely time away, thank you. And I'm refreshed, I'm revitalised, I'm re-energised. I can't wait. This is the Papers. I look at the front pages of the UK dailies, and then I look inside the papers and pick out one or two choice cuts, not cuts really, some interesting stories or ones I find interesting in any case. Will we start today with The Guardian? Why not? Now, the front page, The Guardian's front page is mirrored by many of the papers today. It is about war. War, defence spending, the arms industry. It's a stark headline, The Guardian. PM to raise defence spending and put arms industry on, quote, war footing. As I said, many of the papers leading with this. There are several stories on the front page of The Guardian. One of them, the headline reads, UN official horrified by Gaza mass graves. And I will, of course, return to that story. The Times, UK to spend more on defence. There is an awful photograph on the front page of the Times of a very unseaworthy looking craft. Can I say this? Unseaworthy. An awful picture of people, men, women, one or two youngsters piled onto a dinghy in the channel. A dinghy which is collapsing under the weight of all of these people. Child among five killed in channel dinghy accident is the headline. Now, a number of the broadcasters in the UK this morning are leading with that, or at least focusing very heavily on it. The deaths of migrants in the channel. UK to spend more on defence, though, is the lead story in the Times. The Daily Mail, biggest boost for defence in a generation. The Mail is titling this, or it has headed this as, Victory for Mail campaign. The Daily Mail is claiming some sort of victory here, that it has put pressure on the UK government, and the UK government has buckled and has unveiled a £75 billion boost to put Britain's defence on a war footing. They can go to war if they like. What say you, dear listener, if they want to? But leave the rest of us out of it. We'll come back to this or to that. The Daily Telegraph, again, war footing as PM ramps up defence spending. He was in Poland yesterday, the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, where he pledged more and more and more money for defence, 2.5% of the national wealth of the UK will be spent on defence. It will show our enemies, said Sunak, our enemies, that we are resolute and determined. Now, I don't know about you, dearest and fondest listener. I don't have any enemies. I don't know about you. Answers on a postcard or send a message through the Richie Allen Show app. If you got any enemies, I don't have any enemies. I certainly have no problems or no issues with the people of China, Iran, or Russia, or Syria, or anywhere else. I really don't. The Telegraph also features the awful story about migrants drowning in the channel. French accused of irresponsible actions after channel migrants die is the headline. Let's move to the Metro. Let this be last channel tragedy is the headline. One of those who died was a young girl. A dinghy packed with 112 migrants flounders off the French coast. The Eye. And by the way, the Conservative media, and that goes for the independent Conservative media, they want to paint these stories, or they want to portray these stories. It's very black and white, very simplistic. They paint these issues in very simplistic ways, using simplistic brush strokes. These are very complex issues. Yes, while there may very well be a Kalergi plan, I don't know, really. I've never seen any hard evidence of a specific Kalergi plan. But I do believe that governments, not just the government here, not just the Irish government, and again, these governments do not act of their own volition, at least in my opinion. You know, the leaders of these governments, our governments, are under duress. They are carrying out the actions and the wishes of another group of people. So yes, mass migration is a policy, is a plan. There's no doubt about that. It's a divide and conquer plan. But the people caught up in the middle of it are real people. Like the girl who died falling out of that dinghy on Tuesday, yesterday. I'm going to get into it on a programme this week on the live show, I think. Tories unveil UK's biggest hike to military spending for a generation. Yada, yada, yada. Daily Express crowing about it too, just like the Mail. The Express is delighted. About time too, says the Express. Civil service job cuts will pay for defence boost. So the Express is taking a different angle on the story. It's saying that Sunak is going to cut 70,000 civil service jobs, and by doing so, will free up cash to pay for building more and more tanks and guns and weapons of mass destruction, which of course are completely unnecessary, because the people, I've said it too many times, of the so-called axis of evil, they don't represent any real threat to us. I'll come back to it. Financial Times goes with a financial story about private equity. We'll leave that one. The Daily Mirror, I saw him, is the headline. And this is about the assassination or the murder of the journalist Jill Dando, who was murdered many, many years ago back in the 90s. She was murdered. Was it the 90s or was it the early noughties? Well, the Mirror reckons they know who did it. A key witness says, man, she spotted running minutes after Jill Dando was murdered, is the Serbian assassin, a guy called Ulemek. And they photographed this guy. They've got a picture of him on the front page of the Mirror. The Daily Star. Kim Jong-un's favourite imperialist launches war on slugs. What's this about? Well, the Daily Star has a photograph of Alan Titchmarsh, the gardener, TV presenter, whose trousers were censored by Kim Jong-un's North Korea. They don't like jeans up there or over there in North Korea. And the story in the Star is about trouser owners' war on slugs, for which the paper doesn't apparently approve. That's just a nonsense story on the front page of the Star. I have no idea. I haven't read it, so that's the headline on the front page of the Star. Let's leave it, and let's move inside the papers this Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Now, let me just tell you before we go inside the papers, a couple of very minor changes. Traditionally, since I launched the papers podcast, it has been available to download usually sometime between 6 and 6.30 a.m. That's going to change. So from now on in, it is going to be available online closer to 7.30 a.m. Okay, that's for personal reasons, to make it a little bit easier on me and to make my life a little bit easier as we march on through spring and summer, because I'm going to be with you now constantly until sometime around the middle or the end of August. It's going to be a long slog. I'll be doing 5 paper podcasts a day, 4 live radio shows at 4 o'clock Monday to Thursday, and a music programme on Sunday morning. So it is hard beer. It's hard going. But I'm making it a little bit easier for myself. I'm not going to be putting enormous pressure on myself to get it on the internet by 6 or 6.30. It'll be 7.30 at the very latest. At the very latest. Other times, it might be a bit earlier, depending on the morning I'm having. So that's Monday to Friday. It'll drop, as the kids say, around about 7.30 UK time. Okay? Let's go inside the papers. They're all covering it. So we'll look at the Telegraph's take. War footing as Sunak ramps up defence spending. He said, did Sunak, he would put Britain's defence industry, on a war footing as he unveiled the biggest boost to military spending in a generation. Visiting Poland, he was. He unveiled £75 billion in new funding, which will take the defence budget to 2.5% of national wealth, or £87 billion a year by the start of 2030. He announced £10 billion would be used to put the UK's own defence industry on a war footing and hugely ramp up domestic weapons production. Lots of quotes in there. He said the plan will make Britain the largest, by far the largest, defence power in Europe, and it would serve to show our enemies that we are resolute and determined. Which enemies? What enemies? He means China, Iran and Russia mostly. But as I mentioned earlier, neither you nor I have any enemies in these countries. I will ask this question and I will leave it hanging. I will pose a question. Who or what represents the biggest threat to your liberty, your prosperity and your security on these islands? What or who represents the biggest threat to liberty, prosperity and security? Is it the people of China, Iran, Russia, the governments of those countries? Or does the threat to your liberty, your prosperity, your security, does it lie or does it rest a little bit closer to home? I would argue, just going by the last 4 years alone, the answer is patently obvious, in the opinion of this baldy gammon. Now, the Times, I'm reading this inside the Times, it's also featured on the front page of The Guardian. This is a horrible but unsurprising story. Bodies in Gaza mass graves had hands tied, say UN officials. So mass graves containing hundreds of bodies, some naked and with their hands tied, have been found at two of the largest hospitals in the Gaza Strip, according to UN officials. So this is what has happened then. Palestinian civil defence teams have begun basically sifting through the rubble outside the Nasser Hospital complex in Khan Yunis. And they've been doing this because the Israeli troops have withdrawn from the area. And they found bodies there and also at the Al-Shifa Hospital, formerly the territory's largest hospital, following the latest Israeli raid there, which happened last month. Now, according to the Times, at least 283 bodies were recovered at the hospital in Khan Yunis, where Israel conducted a large military operation in February, according to the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the OHCHR. Now, of those, 42 had been identified, the Commissioner's Office said, but local health officials say the total number has risen to 340. And the spokeswoman for the OHCHR, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, is Ravina Shamdasani. She said older people, women and wounded were among those whose remains were exhumed, while others were found with their hands tied and stripped of their clothes. She said, we feel the need to raise the alarm because clearly there have been multiple bodies discovered. The US State Department said the reports from Gaza were troubling. Troubling, mind. And Volker Turk, the UN human rights chief, said he was horrified. None of this will come as any surprise to you or to me. We've been speaking about this now for several months. When they start to dig out or to remove the rubble of not just the hospitals, but the tens of thousands of buildings which have been destroyed by the Israeli campaign of terror in Gaza, the death toll would rise and all manner of atrocities would be exposed. And that is what is happening here. People summarily executed with their hands tied behind their backs by the Israeli army. More on this maybe later on in the Richie Allen Show. That's in the Times. And here's an interesting one because I was discussing it with a friend of mine. It's in the Express today. I don't know if you've taken a drive anywhere recently. You know, a lengthy drive. A drive across the country or up and down the country. I have, of course, travelled hundreds of miles driving from Salford to Torquay in Devon and making the return journey. Here's an interesting one in the Express. Drivers counted the number of dead bugs on their number plate for study. Drivers counted the number of dead bugs on their number plates for study. So then, in a large study, in a major study, car drivers were asked, would they count the number of dead insects on their windscreens and their number plates to see how the population of flying bugs has declined over the past 20 years. Now, I drove to Torquay, as I mentioned, primarily using the M6 and the M5, or the M5 and the M6, whichever way you want to put it, and I didn't have to wash my windscreen after driving the 240 miles. Make of it what you will. So this is a citizen science survey, and it's being headed up by Kent Wildlife Trust and BugLife, and it's shown a 78% decline in bug splats on number plates and windscreens, but mostly number plates, across the UK since 2004, since 2004. So conservationists have warned the dramatic falls in flying insects are a red flag for the state of nature in the UK, which should not be ignored. The Bugs Matter survey is based on the windscreen phenomenon, anecdotal evidence from drivers who claim they are encountering fewer moths, flies, bees and flying beetles on their windscreens than they used to encounter in previous years. So since the original survey in 2004, records from almost 26,500 journeys across the UK have been analysed. So it's a pretty innovative scheme, this. If you participate in it, you first of all clean your number plate, then you go off on your journey, you record the route of the journey on your mobile phone. When the journey has been completed, you count the number of insects squashed on the number plate of your car using a supplied splatometer grid, which is an app, I believe, part of the survey's equipment. So bugs are in decline. Bees, moths, flying insects. What's going on is the question. So it's really interesting. It's in the Express today. I noticed it. I mentioned it to a friend of mine when I'd returned from Torquay last Saturday. And I said, it is quite staggering because I do remember many years ago when I would drive anywhere, especially if it was, you know, a 50, 60, 70 mile journey or longer, the windscreen would be covered in bugs and the number plate, but not anymore. What do you reckon, dearest listener? Reach out to me through the app. Here's one in The Guardian. Pupils in England facing worst exam results in decades after COVID closures. So this is a study funded by the Nuffield Foundation, and it is predicting that national GCSE results in key subjects will steadily worsen until 2030, when it is expected fewer than 40% of pupils will get good grades in maths and in English. And they're putting it down to the academic and social legacies of closing schools during COVID, or as we call it, the scamdemic. And Lee Elliott Major has been quoted by The Guardian. Who the hell is Lee Elliott Major? Well, he's a professor of social mobility at Exeter University, and he co-authored the Nuffield Foundation report. And he said, without a raft of equalising policies, the damaging legacy from COVID school closures will be felt by generations of pupils well into the next decade. But I tell you, dear listener, I'm not so much worried by the academic performance of these young men and women or the impact of the scam on their academic performance. I'd be far more interested myself in the impact on their ability to navigate or to negotiate life, their ability to form relationships outside of their mobile phones and their laptops and their tablets, their ability to get on with people, to coexist with people, to cooperate with people, and to have a real social life where you really interact with real physical people. That's what I'd be more interested in now than their academic performance. But it's an interesting story in The Guardian nonetheless. Let's go to The Mirror. And this made me laugh this morning because a number of newspapers in recent weeks have featured stories about families, Chavi Scally families, who turn up at restaurants, who sit down and eat the bejesus out of themselves, have lots of food and sometimes very expensive bottles of wine. So they sit there and they gorge and they quaff. And then they flee. They leg it, as we would have said years ago. They leg it and leave the bill unpaid. This is becoming a bit of a phenomenon. And the Daily Mirror has been sent footage of a woman doing this. You know, brazen behaviour. Sitting down at a restaurant. They're calling it Dine and Dasher Do a Runner. Dine and Dash, they're calling it. Yeah, so you have your food and then you leave. You pretend to go to the loo and you piss off without paying the bill. And one particular family has done this several times and they're being hunted by the police in South Wales for doing it at least 6 or 7 times in the last year. 7 restaurants, apparently. This particular family has popped up, been seated, fed themselves, drank themselves, and then ran for it. I find it a bit mad, really. But it's an interesting one in The Mirror today. Have you ever done anything like that? Anything as brazen as that? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, when I was younger. I might tell that story on the Richie Allen Show sometime. When I need to fill a bit. Let's go to The Telegraph again. M&S criticised for £6 posh egg mayo sandwich. Well, hold the front page. Marks and Spencer, supposed to be, like Waitrose, a posh retailer, I suppose, or it's supposed to be. It markets itself as a bit of an upmarket kind of supermarket, corner shop. They've been criticised, according to The Telegraph, for selling a posh egg mayonnaise and watercress sandwich for £6. I don't know why they're being criticised. Nobody puts a gun to your head and says you've got to pay these prices. I'm sure you can find an egg mayo and watercress sandwich in another supermarket for probably half that price. But this is the funny part of the story. A standard egg and watercress sandwich from the retailer costs £2.65. The posh version is more than twice the price. So The Telegraph is fascinated by this and wonders what was in the posher version to make it so posh and to justify charging nearly double. And they found that the posh version contains 166 grams of egg mayo filling compared to 115 grams in the standard offering. There you are. That's in The Telegraph. Here's a more serious story in The Times. Now, transgender charities, and I use the term charity loosely, but trans campaigning groups who purport to be charities and quite often acquire for themselves charity status. They'd have you believe that we're wading knee-deep in trannies in the UK in 2024. That transgender, that far more people than we might realise are trans, you know, born in the wrong body, or identify as something other than their biological sex. But there's a bit of a scandal brewing here. In The Times, census data on number of trans people in Britain is deeply flawed. And this is according to a sociologist called Michael Biggs, who works at Oxford University. And he's written in the Sociology Journal questioning the findings of the 2021 national census, which says that there are 262,000 trans people in the UK. Now, there's about 67 million people in total living in the UK. The census happens every 10 years. It's a series of questions given to every householder, every person in the UK. Adults, you answer these questions, you send it back every 10 years. Right, you know what a census is, I don't have to tell you. So Michael Biggs from Oxford Uni, associate professor, he says the census questions about trans people were confusing. And the questions were remarkably similar to those proposed by a transgender campaign group back in 2007. Now, back in 2007, the question was rejected because of feedback that non-trans people wouldn't understand it, especially if English wasn't their first language, okay? So Maya Forstater, who's the chief executive of the Sex Matters campaign group, she claimed that the ONS, the Office for National Statistics, which carries out the census, used a question invented by trans lobbyists known to confuse people. So the fix is in. They're saying, basically, this guy from Oxford and this woman, Maya Forstater, that the question was deliberately confusing, right? Designed to be that way, in a way so that more people would claim to be trans or non-binary or queer or whatever, right? So it's an interesting story, this. Of the 262,000 people who told the census in 2022 that they were transgender, 118,000 of those provided no further detail. About 48,000 people, or 0.1% of the population aged 16 and over, identified as a trans man, and 48,000 as a trans woman. 30,000 said they were non-binary, and a further 18,000 people wrote in a different gender identity. So they filled the box in using a different gender identity. But, and here's the killer, another data release from the ONS showed that those who spoke English not well or not well at all were most likely to be counted as transgender. And they've acknowledged this, the ONS. So the question dreamt up by these trans lobby groups was designed to fool people, or to lure more people responding to the census into claiming some sort of a trans identity, when in reality the number of people who are genuinely transgender is far lower than the 262,000 claimed by the census when it was released in 2022. It took place in 2021. How interesting is that? I think it's interesting indeed. Let's go to the BBC News website before I take my leave of you this morning. And the BBC News website is leading with the announcement that the US Congress has approved a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine and for Israel. The warmongers just want to keep on warmongering. And the peoples of these countries, the peoples of the United States and of the United Kingdom and of the Republic of Ireland and of the European Union countries, where are you? Why are you not asking your governments, your elected officials, what are they doing to stop wars in Ukraine, to stop the slaughter of people in Gaza? Why are you not asking them? Why, in the name of Jesus Christ, are you continuing to send billions and billions of dollars worth of life-ending weapons of mass destruction to these places instead of doing everything you can diplomatically to end these issues? What is going on? Not with the governments of the US and the UK, you and I know what's going on and why they're doing it, but where are the peoples of our countries? I'll tell you where they are. I'll tell you where they are. Increasingly, many of them are living their lives almost exclusively on the internet. It is where the Trucer industrial complex resides, almost exclusively now. It's on Twitter, sloganeering and posting links and sloganeering, as I've already said, fishing for likes and retweets and follows and bitching about it. It's like the People's Front of Judea, isn't it? That's what's going on. Real action needs to be taken, and I'm going to be discussing this more and more as time goes on the Richie Allen Show. Why do people put up with it? Billions and billions for war and death and destruction. Always money for war. No money for diplomacy and for ending war. We'll talk later on the Richie Allen Show at 4 p.m. UK time. I'm looking forward to your company. It is Wednesday, April 24th, and that was Wednesday's papers then. I meant that was the papers podcast. I should have said those were Wednesday's papers. From this gammon, enjoy the rest of your day. Speak it for. Bye now.